Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill, and I'm delighted again to be able to speak to CEO Shankar Patel and CFO Stuart Kilpatrick of Lords Group Trading, a specialist builders merchant and UK heating product building firm distributor. So welcome, gents.
Morning, Paul.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, big congrats on this morning's resilient first half results with adjusted EBITDA coming in at £12.6 million on sales of £214 million. But before we sort of run through the details there, Shankar, I don't suppose you could quickly remind the audience of what the business does, its sort of key USPs and the sort of longer term market opportunity for the company.
Okay. Yeah. So the group is based of two. It comprises of two divisions. One is plumbing and heating, where its main business is distribution of boilers and allied heating products across the country to about 2,500 odd plumbers merchants. It also has a direct to trade brand called Mr. Central Heating, with 13 locations at the moment and growing. And on the other side, we have building material distribution with a variety of brands, principally being Lords Builders Merchants, which is London, the Midland Century. So between the two divisions, we cover a vast range of building products. And the key USP of this business, number one, is the fact that the two divisions have different end markets, although they all go back into the same end market, which is construction, property, and building products. The large market, we've spread it between the two divisions so that there's resilience when the RMI sector is down. We potentially have the building material sector pick up. We've got more resilience in the heating sector because you need heating no matter what. So that's how the business was created. What distinguishes us in terms of our USP is that we're highly entrepreneurial. We're not a central controlled business. It's divisional controlled. And effectively, the branch managers hold a high degree of power to trade within a framework. And all of this is based so that we can give our customers the best customer service possible. And that's really where the business focuses on making sure that we give great value to our customers.
Yeah. And what's a sort of the longer term opportunity for the business in terms of sort of like, you know, taking market share? Because it's a pretty big sort of sector, isn't it, across the UK?
It is. It's addressable 50 odd billion right across so many different channels as well as verticals. So we our opportunity is organic with a few brands that we feel have got organic expansion opportunity. And then it's M&A. It's a highly fragmented market, both in plumbing and heating, as well as building materials. We've been an acquirer for the last 10 years. We've generally bought out small to medium-sized companies, either turned them around or invested in them to grow them. Our track record has been quite decent over the last 10 years. And we see that the opportunity will remain as the market picks up. We'll still have lots of opportunities to do accretive M&A.
And that's sort of the coalface. What are your sort of regional managers telling you in terms of the sort of demand picture? I know you, obviously if you're sort of London centric, then I guess you've probably seen more of the sort of like the softness in the recent markets. But how what are your regional managers saying at the moment?
Well, look, it's widely reported it's been a tough first half. We were sort of expecting some form of recovery, you know, coming to the end of the first half, as interest rate expectations for a decrease were already anticipated. You know, the market has been quite tough. House builders called it early in Q4 last year, so they pulled the brakes. That affects us not as much as some of our peers, because we don't have as much concentration, but it does affect our overall business. What we're seeing now is effectively kind of two halves again. The house building and the regional house builders, as well as the national house builders, are starting to open up sites and starting to ramp up. It's nowhere near what it was in 22, 23 potentially, but it's from a low base and starting to show signs of recovery. We are a London and Midlands centric in our building materials, and there it still hasn't coming through as we'd expect. I think interest rates bite the very people that we supply to, and until we see a few more turns of decrease in the interest rates, the market is likely to be subdued. All in all, in our view, what that means is that there's a push, you know, out in terms of recovery. So where we might have expected a green shoots in sort of Q3 and potentially momentum in Q4, there's a likelihood that that's pushed out. Vital for us is obviously from now until the end of November. These are key months in the construction industry in our sector. So it remains to be seen how demand picks up over the three months.
Yeah, well, London usually goes into a sort of slowdown first and comes out of it first as well. But coming to sort of more broadly, this is sort of like the $64 million question here, Shankar. If Rachel Reeves and the new Labour government does actually get anywhere near to its aim of building 300,000 new properties every single year, which is 1.5 million over its sort of 5-year term, if he gets anywhere near that, what do you think it will do for the building products industry in the UK?
Naturally, I mean, it would be highly beneficial for the market. But with that sort of, you know, fantastic demand that would come through if we were to build that level of those level of houses, there will be potential supply shortages. You know, unfortunately, with the boom bust cycle of house building in the UK, manufacturers, distributors all have to react accordingly. And you've seen that we've had quite a severe contraction from 22 down to the low point of 24. To ramp that up won't be easy, because of course we're looking at ramping up house building beyond its previous peak. So, but ultimately, you know, if there's profit to be made, market companies will invest. So I'm very confident that there'll be challenges. But if the demand is there, then I'm sure most people will want to make sure that they can meet that demand and invest in their businesses to be able to do so. We naturally benefit as well, whilst we're not directly into the major house builders, but we do supply a lot of regional and small house builders. And then you see also when homes are being sold, you know, 18, 24 months later, you know, most homeowners will do something to their property, even if it's a small refurb. Those are the sort of markets that then tend to flow into our business.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing, given you've had a 30-year career in the industry, Shankar, I think Lords is likely to be well prepared for any cyclical uptick in the market.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at it strategically, our locations are very strong. You know, we're in the strong locations where if there is a recovery or when there is a recovery, we will benefit. And of course, it's also harder to put up sites now. You know, a lot of industrial properties have been converted into housing. When I look at London, as we said, London in this time round has been hit quite hard in our view. Certainly, the sort of wealthier homeowners have been impacted by higher interest rates. I think for the last 14 years, they've not seen that. But equally, when you look at our locations in London, when those markets come back, we're very well placed to benefit. And that's really why the business is a good proposition, because it's well balanced in the products that it sells, and it's very well balanced in the geographies from which it trades.
Yeah. Good. Okay, well, let's move on to the numbers. Stuart, can you just take us through sort of the key highlights, particularly sort of like the resilience of the gross margins and the sort of the cash flow and the rebasing of the dividend, etc.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. As you say, our numbers were quite resilient in the first half. Revenue was down about 3.8%. Like-for-like was down by 6%, which is pretty much in line with the market, as you said. The reassuring thing is gross margin held up pretty well at 20.2%, which reflects our, as Shankar said, our focus on customer service. So that was quite pleasing. Adjusted EBITDA was down by 16% to 12.6 million, which again was a pretty resilient performance in the market. And we're just starting to see some good news for the sort of medium term, I think, as we go forward into the next few months. Cash flow, as you know, we have a seasonal outflow in the first half, so that was pushed our debt up a little bit in the first half, but it's lower than this time last year. We'd expect the working capital to reverse in the second half as it did last year. So that's all in good shape, and our cash conversion rate is pretty good in the last couple of years, so we'd look to maintain that. And we've had a pretty good focus on efficiency, driving down costs. We reduced our costs in the first half on an underlying basis by 2%. I think we've pretty much got about 2.5, 2.6 million of savings for next year, as we go to next year. So it's a pretty good performance, I think, all around.
Yeah. And is there any sort of further opportunities for sort of efficiency, or at the moment you're just waiting to see how things sort of develop with the market?
I think we've got to keep a careful balance between driving down costs. As you know, most of our costs are people or property related. There are some positive vibes in the construction industry, as you've touched on, with the government's targets and everything else. Obviously, that'll take a bit of time to filter through. So we need to keep a balance between having the right size and the right team at the branches, as well as keeping our costs as low as we can for the current market.
Yeah. So making sure you don't cut into your capability sort of stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Absolutely. And then just in terms of sort of the debt, I've looked at the balance sheet and you've got sort of some freehold properties, haven't you, which are supporting that. And likewise, you've just renegotiated your debt facility, 4 or 5 months ago?
That's right, yeah. So we extended our debt facility out by another year, which is part of the revolving credit facility that we negotiated a few years ago. So we've got £95 million of debt capability and over £45 million of headroom, so plenty of headroom. We're in good shape, I think, in the balance sheet in terms of going forward, and looking forward to as the market picks up, as you touched on. I joined hopefully at the right time, Paul, for having had a tough time, and maybe then the medium term they'll have a better time.
Yeah, what are your sort of first impressions then? Because you've only been there, haven't you, for 3 months or so?
Yeah, it's about 3 months, and it's all good so far. It's a great business, and The reassuring thing for me is it's just exactly what I expected. So when you go around to the branches, all the people you meet are really in control of their business. They understand the business really well, and everyone's pulling in the same direction. It's a great credit to the team at Lords, just to see how enthused people are and how committed they are to their role and the company.
Great. Okay, good. And then Shankar, just in terms of sort of like, you know, product categories, one area that it does seem to be booming is, which is not a surprise because we've had high energy prices, is a sort of like the energy efficiency sort of products, likewise with the sort of the decarbonate. Could you quickly take us through how you're seeing that sort of pan out at the moment?
Yeah, so the government, previous government and relatively the new government are committed to the decarbonisation of the UK heating market. Now, part of that was the introduction of a clean heat market mechanism, which the government introduced in January this year, then withdrew it as it resulted, and they were aware that it would result in an increase in boiler prices. We're led to believe that that will come back again. We don't know the exact shape or form, but there is clearly a considerable amount of momentum to decarbonize the home heating. Now, we're very well placed to take advantage of that because a lot of the manufacturers of those products are the same manufacturers that we deal with. And then in addition, some of the new manufacturers that don't sell boilers, so some of the other committed manufacturers who exclusively make energy efficient products, need a distribution channel in order to reach their end markets. The end market will grow. It's off a low base, And we expect that since the government's target is 600,000 SOC pumps or renewable heating products by 2028, if they are to meet that target, there is going to be a big shift in the distribution network and in the capability of manufacturers to be able to get those products to the customers. We think we're just very well placed, right? We're swapping a boiler for an air source heat pump. There are some slightly different considerations in terms of the size of the product, but beyond that, and beyond making some operational changes, there's not much else. You know, we've got an excellent customer service and sales team who understand the intrinsic details and technical details of boiler as a heating product, and they're getting very quickly up to speed on those details for an air source heat pump. So it's the fact that we are well placed and have a unique position in this supply chain that I think affords us the opportunity. And we want to be part of this decarbonization. You know, we've invested substantially in order to make sure that we have a strong position. You can see that with a few of the exclusive agreements that we've signed in the last few weeks. One of them being an air source heat pump manufacturer called Clivet. We are their exclusive distributor, sole distributor for the UK. And we really look forward to driving the market for those products with them. We've then taken on some Viessmann, which is a traditional boiler manufacturer, but also have a large heat pump division. So again, access to these manufacturers, them having access to our end markets and our sales team and our distribution capability, we think we will be well placed to increase our market share ahead of the market really taking off, which, you know, we're expecting to see that happen over the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah. And how are you finding the sort of the online interest? How are they progressing at the moment? Is it Mr. Heating?
Mr. Centre Heating.
Mr. Centre Heating.
Online, I think, you know, so online's doing well enough. But the online market, and we saw the post-COVID boom that we all thought e-commerce is going to take off. We're seeing sort of more normalization from that sort of COVID spike. The brand is still very strong. We see great interaction, and we use it to get to the engineers and the installers of our products, the products that we sell. So, you know, we will use that channel also and that brand in the decarbonization journey, because it's got access to engineers. One of the things we're pivoting to is actually the way that the market will grow is if there are enough installers of air source heat pumps. So we've got plenty of installers of boilers. We don't have enough installers of air source heat pumps. So we're looking at how we can be part of that journey where we train installers. We can provide them with a non-product-based service. So really be intrinsic part of the supply chain, not just from the manufacturer's side, but also from our customer side.
Good. Okay, so putting all that together then, Stuart, what's a sort of the broad take and the outlook for the rest of the year and beyond, and particularly to sort of like achieving the sort of the board's longer term sort of target of 7.5% for the EBITDA margin, and also sort of the, you know, what the dividend is for the half year.
Yeah, we've announced a dividend of 0.32 pence per share for the half year or the interim stage, and we've scaled that in line with our earnings per share in the first half. But there's no change to our dividend policy. We're remaining, keeping a very progressive policy through the cycle, and we'll expect to increase dividends as we go, as earnings increase, earnings per share increases in the future. In terms of the second half, Paul, we're pretty much saying that the market's not going to change significantly. As you know, we've had one interest rate cut so far, and we think it's going to take time for some of these initiatives to filter through into our RMI market, where we most of our business sits. So we're not calling a big uptick, but as we move into 2025, we'd expect to see a better, slightly better market progressively as we go into the year. So we're hopeful that we'll start to produce better financial results going into 25.
And then drop through for sort of the EBITDA to get to sort of the, you know, the 7.5%. Because I think you're just shy of 6% at the moment. Is it 5.9 in the first half?
That's right. We're 5.9% in the first half. If you add 5% to our revenue, which is pretty much what we lost in the first half, about 4.5 million drops down to the bottom line, and that takes us to sort of mid 6%-ish, 6.4, something like that. And then the growth up to 7.5 is really more volume in terms of whether it's M&A driven or organic growth, and that will take us to 7.5 in the medium term. So it's very much still achievable in terms of our targets.
And is there any sort of like extra sort of economies of scale you can get on your overheads below gross margin across the sort of the branch depots? I don't know, with finance or logistics or purchasing or anything like that?
Well, it's certainly something that I'm going to be looking at over the next few months in terms of certainly the finance, obviously, is closest target I can get my hands on quite quickly. But certainly, I think we're not going to increase our overheads dramatically if we add significant top line on in the next few in the sort of medium term period. So I think there is opportunity there, particularly in terms of rationalizing some of our back office, I guess. So I think there is a little bit of opportunity. Yeah.
Okay, good. And then just on the recent acquisitions, Shank, can you just talk through sort of how they've integrated within the business and also your sort of your future M&A strategy? I'm guessing sort of during the moment it's very opportunistic if the right deal comes through.
Yeah, so last year's acquisitions have been fully integrated. So we had 5 branches in South London and a business called Alloy Timber, which had been rebranded to Lords Builders Merchants. And we've done that in a very fast period, but not just the rebrand and the sort of people integration. We've actually refurbished the units. These were businesses and premises that needed an uplift. So we've done that. We're starting to see the benefit of that coming through. We've also stabilized the team. There's always a risk that as soon as you acquire a business, an incumbent team may or may not fit culturally or would like to be part of your group. So you always have you have to brace yourself for a degree of disruption. We've been through that cycle. We've got good management in all of those branches. They're very well connected now to the entire Lords marketing programs. They're connected to our sales channels through to our internal and external sales teams. So very much 5 branches that one would have thought were part of Lords for a long time. And a few locations in particular doing particularly well, well ahead of what they were doing previously under the previous management. So we expect those to now come through in H2. We've always said that there's a hockey curve or a hockey stick curve with acquisitions. It generally go backwards for the first 6 to 9 months as you start to integrate, as systems change, as the teams get used to a new way of doing things, and then that whilst we continue to invest in these businesses, and when we come out of the point where all the integration is complete, you start to see the returns come through, and they come through very rapidly. Again, it all fits to our model, which is, look after the people, invest in our premises, invest in our plant, invest in our people, and we start to then make sure that that's sort of feeds into better customer service, and then that leads to increase in sales. We did another acquisition, which is Chilton Timber. That's tracking ahead of last year. So again, a rebrand, put in a new ERP system, supported the business through physical changes in its premises, added transport capability, and went from, we took the business from being cash only to cash and credit. It's in a very strong geography, fits very well within our network. And we're starting to see again, the business is performing in green on a like-for-like basis, which is great. I'd also like to add, both of those businesses have been highly margin accretive at the gross margin level. So they are quite strong margin businesses with volume. When we get even greater volume, the drop through will be stronger. Mm-hmm. So in all, I'm very happy with both acquisitions in a challenging period. It's always very difficult making an acquisition when you're heading into a downturn, but that is part of our model, and we're very pleased that even in a downturn, we can buy businesses, turn them around.
Yeah, and then just sort of more broadly in the medium and longer term there, Shankar, just sort of like, when the upturn does occur, because obviously the share price is sort of like, hasn't performed particularly well over the recent past, and it's also a significant discount to it's sort of like peers like Travis Perkins, but Cavendish has got a target price of over £1, and there's lots of operating leverage in the business. So just a few words in terms of sort of like, for shareholders, be patient, I guess.
Well, of course, albeit I'm sure people will say, well, how patient would you like us to be? This is a business that takes long-term bets, right? It makes long-term investments, and it's a long-term stable business. So, you know, for investors and shareholders, of which, as you know, I am one, we have to be patient, knowing that there is a recovery in the end markets that's likely to come through in 2025. We have been delayed in our recovery. The election timing perhaps may have played a factor into why we haven't seen the green shoots just yet. We've got, you know, a fair amount of, you know, still bitter turbulence to go through until we get to a much better environment in 2025. Why I'm asking people to be patient is because our track record has been, you know, very strong. You know, our CAGR over the last 10 years is 35%. We've generally always delivered on what we say we're going to do, but unfortunately we're not able, you know, we're not agnostic of the market. We can try and beat the market, but when the market is severely impacted as it has been in the last 18 months, unfortunately the business will too. But we should see the business perform very strongly as the recovery comes through. And we're working very hard to make sure that we're well placed. We are seeing some of our business units report much more positively than they have in the last 6 to 9 months, but we need virtually everybody to do that. And then we'll be in the territory where the share price hopefully will reflect our long-term opportunities.
Yeah. And I guess your branch managers are hungry and fired up to deliver that when the better times arrive.
Oh, totally. You know, no branch manager wants to see red. You know, they're all, but one of the things that too brought out again, you know, faith in investors is we've held our gross margin. Now, this is a business that believes in customer service. You know, in order to get volume, it is possible for us to use that tool of lower pricing. But we believe that the business, which has been based on excellent customer service, it can only do so if it invests in its business, and it can only invest in its business if it has the right appropriate reward from its customers. So, you know, it is one of these, you know, please be patient with us for a little bit longer. And we hope to be able to deliver some good news as we head into the future, into the medium term.
Yeah, I look forward to that. And then just finally then, Stuart, this sort of the news flow going forward, is it the next sort of like sort of major announcements, I guess, probably is going to be the year-end trading update, I imagine, probably January time or?
Yeah, that's right, Paul. As Shank says, there's been a bit of news in terms of some of our trade press and everything else, in terms of contracts we've won. In terms of city news, the next update will be early January, sort of mid-January, when we announce our sort of turnover numbers or revenue numbers for the full year.
Yeah, good. Okay, well, thanks very much, gents, and very much look forward in hearing how the industry and how Lords is going to perform, particularly next year in 2025, when hopefully we'll see a cyclical uptick in the whole industry. So thanks again, guys.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates. so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.